The Mahabharata.
Chapter 91. The Death of Karna. When Drona died, the princes of the Kaurava army installed Karna as the generalissimo. Karna stood up in his gorgeous war chariot, driven by Shalya, the dauntless confidence of his bearing and his great renown as a warrior heartened the Kauravas. The battle began again. Readers of the stars were consulted, and the Pandavas chose the propitious hour for grim battle. Arjuna led the attack on Karna, supported by Bhima Sena immediately behind his chariot. Dushasana made a concentrated attack on Bhima and sent a shower of arrows at him. Bhima chuckled and said to himself, I have this wretch now safe in my hands. I shall today redeem my promise to Draupadi. Too long has my oath waited for performance. As Bhima thus bethought himself of what Dushasana had done to Draupadi, the anger within him blazed uncontrollably, and throwing down all his weapons, he jumped from his chariot and leapt upon Dushasana like a tiger on its prey, hurled him down, broke his limbs. Wicked beast, is this the wretched hand that held Draupadi by the hair? Here, I tear out the root from your body. If there be any here wishing to help you, let him come forward and try. Glaring hatefully at Duryodhana as he roared this challenge, Bhimasena tore Dushasana's arm out and threw the bleeding limb on the battlefield. And then he fulfilled the terrible oath he had taken 13 years before. He sucked and drank the blood from his enemy's body like a beast of prey, and danced on the ensanguined field, mad with passion. I have done it! He roared. The oath I swore against this great sinner has been redeemed. It only remains to redeem my oath as regards Duryodhana. The sacrificial fire is ready. Let that victim also prepare. The scene made everyone shudder. Even great Karna was shaken as he saw Bhima in this ecstasy of wrath. Do not flinch, said Salya to Karna. It does not befit you to show any sign that may be mistaken for fear. When Duryodhana stands quivering in despair, it is not right that you should also lose heart. After great Dushasana's death, the army's hope rests solely on you. You must now bear the full burden. Like the gallant warrior you are, seek single combat with Arjuna. Win eternal glory on earth or the soldier's heaven. At these words, Karna recovered his mettle. With eyes red with wrath and unshed tears, he bade Salya drive the chariot towards Arjuna. Enough of fighting, said Ashwathama, addressing Duryodhana earnestly. Let us terminate this disastrous enmity. Beloved friend, make peace with the Pandavas. Stop the battle.
What? Did you not hear the words that the stubborn Bhima uttered when, like a ravening beast, he drank human blood danced over my brother's mangled body? What talk can there now be of peace? Why do you speak vain words? Said Duryodhana. Saying thus, he ordered a fresh disposition of the forces, gave the command for attack. Then followed a great battle. The son of Surya sent a dazzling arrow which spat fire and made for Arjuna like a serpent with its flaming double tongue out. Then Krishna, Arjuna's charioteer at the nick of time, pressed the vehicle down 5 fingers deep in the mud so that the serpent shaft just missed Partha's head but struck off his helmet. Arjuna was red with shame and anger, and he fixed a dart on his bow to make an end of Karna. Karna's fated hour was come, and as had been foretold, the left wheel of his chariot suddenly sank in the bloody mire. He jumped down on the ground to lift the wheel up from the mud.
Oh, wait a minute, he cried. My chariot has sunk in the ground. Great warrior as you are, and knowing dharma as you do, you would certainly not take unfair advantage of this accident. I shall presently set my car right and give you all the battle you want.
Arjuna hesitated. Karna was now somewhat perturbed on account of this mishap. He remembered the curse that had been pronounced on him, and again appealed to Arjuna's sense of honor. Krishna intervened. Ah, Karna, it is well that you remember there are things like fair play and chivalry. Now that you are in difficulty, you remember them. But when you and Duryodhana and Dushasana and Sakuni dragged Draupadi to the hall of assembly and insulted her, how was it you forgot them utterly? You helped to inveigle Dharmaputra, who was fond of play but was unskilled at it, to gamble. You cheated him. Where had your fair play hidden itself then? Was it fair play to refuse to give to Yudhishthira his kingdom when, according to the pledge, the 12 years of forest life and the 13th year incognito were duly completed? What had happened to the dharma you appeal for now? You conspired with the wicked men who sought to poison and kill Bhima. You acquiesced in the plot to burn the Pandavas alive when sleeping in the palace of wax into which they had been lured. What had happened to dharma all that time? What did dharma tell you when violent hands were laid on Draupadi and you were looking on, enjoying the sight? Did you not then mock at her, saying, your husbands have left you unprotected, go and marry another husband? The tongue that was not ashamed to utter those words now talks of chivalry. Chivalry indeed. When a mob of you surrounded the young Abhimanyu and shamelessly slew him, was that chivalry? Wicked men do not talk of chivalry and fair play when their time comes. You have been wicked and you've never honored chivalry.
When Krishna was denouncing him in this manner in order to urge Arjuna to prompt action, Karna bent his head in shame, uttered not a word. He silently ascended the chariot, leaving the wheel still stuck in the mud, took his bow, sent an arrow at Arjuna with unerring aim and such power that it stunned him for a moment. Karna utilized the respite one to jump down again, hurriedly tried to lift the chariot wheel up, but the curse was too strong for him, and fortune had deserted the great warrior. The wheel would not budge, though he strove with all his strength. Then he tried to recall the mantras of mighty astras he had learnt from Parasurama, but his memory failed in this hour of his need, even as Parasurama had foretold. Waste no more time, Arjuna. Send your shaft, slay your wicked enemy, said Krishna. Arjuna's mind till now was wavering. His hand hesitated to do what was not chivalrous. But when Krishna said this, the poet says, Arjuna accepted this command of the Lord, sent an arrow which cut and severed the head of the Radheya. The poet had not the heart to impute this act to Arjuna, who was the embodiment of nobility. It was the Lord Krishna that incited Arjuna to kill Karna when he was vainly trying to raise his chariot out of the mud in which it had stuck. According to the code of honor and laws of war prevailing then, it was wholly wrong. Who could bear the responsibility for breaches of dharma except the Lord himself? The lesson is that it is vanity to hope through physical violence and war to put down wrong. The battle for right, conducted through physical force, leads to numerous wrongs, and in the net result, adharma increases. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatir Mama. The Mahabharata, chapter 92, Duryodhana. When Duryodhana beheld Karna's death, his grief knew no bounds. Kripacharya was deeply moved by Duryodhana's anguish of heart and said, moved by ambition and greed, we placed too great a burden on friends. They uncomplainingly bore it, laid down their lives on the battlefield, attained the happy regions above. There is but one course left to you, to make peace with the Pandavas. Do not, O King, any longer continue this ruinous fight. Even at that moment of deep despair, Duryodhana did not relish this counsel. Perhaps there was a time for that, but it is long past. What talk can there be of peace between the Pandavas and us with all this inexpiable blood between us, the blood of our dearest and theirs? If I surrender in order to escape death, how can I escape the contempt of the world? What happiness can I hope to have in a life so ignobly saved? And what joy can I hope to find in sovereignty, secured by a peace after my brothers and relatives have all been slain? These words of Duryodhana were lustily cheered by the others. They supported his stand and they chose Salya, gave him the supreme command from then on. Salya was mighty of limb and as brave as any of the warriors who had been killed. The army was arrayed under his leadership and the battle raged fiercely. On the side of the Pandavas, Yudhishthira now led the attack personally against Salya. It astonished everyone to see how the man, who was till then the very incarnation of gentleness, fought so furiously. The battle was equal for a long while when Yudhishthira hurled at Salya his spear, which went straight and struck him like the great flagstaff at the end of a festive function. Salya's body lay lifeless on the field, crimson with blood. When Salya, the last of the great generals, fell dead, the Kaurava army lost all hope. The surviving sons of Dhritarashtra, though, joined together and attacked Bhima from all sides. He slew them all. The son of Vayu had nourished his burning anger for 13 years from the time Draupadi was insulted in the hall of assembly. He said to himself now, "I have not lived in vain." But that Duryodhana still lives. Sakuni led the attack on Sahadeva's division. After a while, Sahadeva discharged a sharp-edged sword arrow, saying, "Fool, here is the reward for your great sin." It went straight and cut through Sakuni's neck like a sword, and the head, which was at the root of all the wicked deeds of the Kauravas, rolled on the ground. Left leaderless, the wreck of the broken army scattered, fled in all directions, pursued and slaughtered to a man by the exulting victors. Thus utterly was destroyed thine army of 11 Akshauhinis, O Bharata, out of the thousands of kings who espoused thy cause in their pride and might. Only Duryodhana could be seen on that battlefield, fainting and sorely wounded," said Sanjaya, describing the debacle to the blind king. Duryodhana, left almost alone, took up his mace and walked towards a pool of water. His whole frame was burning like fire. Water attracted him. The wise Vidura knew what would happen, and he told us. He said to himself as he entered the water, "Of what avail is wisdom that comes too late? What has been done must produce its result, which has to be suffered. That is the law. Yudhishthira and his brothers arrived there in relentless pursuit of their great enemy. Duryodhana, exclaimed Yudhishthira, after destroying family and tribe, would you yourself escape death by concealing yourself in this pond? Where is your pride now? Have you no shame? Come up and fight, a Kshatriya by birth. Do you shrink battle and death? Stung to the quick by these words, Duryodhana replied with dignity, I have not come here, Dharmaputra, a fugitive for my life. It was not fear that brought me here. I stepped into the water to cool the fire that is raging within me. I neither fear death nor wish to live, but why should I fight? The earth has now nothing left that I came to fight for. All those who stood by me have been slain. My desire for kingdom is gone. I leave the world to you without a rival. Enjoy it in undisputed sovereignty. Now that is really generous, especially after you said you would not allow us even a needle point of land. When we begged for peace and entreated you to give us a portion, you spurned our proposal. Now you say we may take it all. It is not for kingdom or land that we fight. Must I recount all your sins, the wrongs you did us? The outrage you perpetrated on Draupadi cannot be expiated except with your life. Sanjaya, who related the events to the blind old king here, said, when your son Duryodhana heard these harsh and cruel words spoken by Dharmaputra, he at once rose from the water, mace in hand. Stepping out of the pool, the unfortunate Duryodhana said, come, one by one, all of you, for I am single. You five will surely not join together and attack me who am alone, without armor, weary, wounded all over. Yudhishthira replied sharply, if indeed it be wrong for many to join together and attack a single person, pray tell us how Abhimanyu was attacked and killed. Did you not consent to many combining and attacking that boy standing all alone amidst your crowd? Yes. When men face misfortune, they see and preach dharma, chivalry to others. Wear your coat of armor. Choose any one of us and fight. Die. Go to Swarga or win and be king. Accordingly, the combat began between Bhima and Duryodhana. Sparks of fire flew when their maces clashed. Duryodhana and Bhima were equal in strength and skill, and the battle raged long and the issue hung doubtful. Those who stood watching were debating as to who would win. Krishna said to Arjuna that Bhima would redeem the oath he swore in the hall of assembly. and smash Duryodhana's thighs. Bhima heard this, and at that moment the memory of the great outrage came vividly to his mind. He leaped like a lion and came down with his mace on Duryodhana's thighs, broke them. Duryodhana fell heavily to the ground, wounded to death. Bhima jumped on the prostrate body of his enemy, stamped on his head with his heavy foot, danced a terrible dance. "Cease, Bhima," cried Dharmaraja. "You have paid off the debt. Duryodhana is a prince and a cousin. It is not right to put your foot on his head." Then Krishna said, "Soon the wicked man's soul will depart from the body. Sons of Pandu, Duryodhana, and his friends have been slain. Why linger here? On to your chariots." When Krishna said this, the face of the fallen Duryodhana glowed like a blazing fire with anger and hatred. Turning his eyes towards Krishna, he said, "By base tricks you contrived the death of warriors who fought bravely according to the laws of war. You could not have dreamt of victory in fair fight with Karna or Bhishma or Drona. Have you not a spark of shame left?" Even dying, Duryodhana felt no regret for all that he had done. "Duryodhana," said Krishna, "vainly do you accuse others. Greed and pride of power led you to unnumbered wicked deeds. You are reaping as you sowed." "Wretch," replied Duryodhana, "living I was a great prince, generous friend. Terrible foe was I. All human joys, such joys as king wish for in vain, and even gods do not despise, have been mine in their fullness. And warrior's death is the fitting crown of such a life. Dying, I go triumphantly to Swarga to join my friends and my brothers who have gone there already, are waiting to welcome me. Whereas you remain here below, your objects defeated, and you yourselves the object of contempt of all Kshatriyas. I do not mind Bhima putting his foot on my head as I lie helpless on the ground with legs broken. What care I? In a few minutes more, will not the feet of crows and vultures settle on my head?" When Duryodhana said this, flowers were showered down by the heavens. Inordinate desire took Duryodhana into the wrong path, whence ensued anger and numerous breaches of dharma. But no one could question the unconquerable spirit of Duryodhana's bravery and valor. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno
यत्र पार्थो धनुर्तरः तत्र श्रीविजयो भूतिर् ध्रुवानीतिर्मतिर्मम.
The Mahabharata, chapter 93, the Pandavas reproached. When the war was nearing its end, Balarama arrived at Kurukshetra after completing his tour of holy places.